From the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, it's the Bombastic Blogcast for Wednesday, November 6, 2024. I'm the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
Hey there yourself. Defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, the kid with the patriotic red, white, and blue eyes, and one heck of a nice guy. Let's get things started with
the Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. This is a good one. It says, having one child makes you a parent. Having two, you're a referee. Yeah. And having more than two, well, you've got a bench.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let's move along now with the so-called educational part of this big blogcast.
Twisted History.
Here we go.
Gather round, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Oh, boy.
Some cool, some not so cool.
I know that.
Just the same. You need to know your Twisted History.
Really?
You might be quizzed.
Is that right? Yeah. You don't have the nerve. All right, kids, it was on this day in 1947, Meet the Press, the longest-running television program in history, marked its debut on NBC TV. It was so few television sets in those days, only a few hundred people saw that first show, and most of them were NBC employees. You know, kind of like today. And it was on this day in 1995, one of the biggest sports controversies ever hit the fan when Cleveland Browns owner Art Modell announced that he signed a deal that he was going to relocate the team to Baltimore. And you know, Clevelanders still, to this day, hate Modell for that move. And he's been dead for 12 years.
People like that should be put to sleep.
Since time is valuable, and the older I get, the more valuable my time is to me, naturally, I'm not going to try to rehash the election stuff because I don't have the resources to do it. Besides, everybody else is doing it, so let's move along to something else. I do want to do something of a forensic nature, if you don't mind, and that is I want to read to you a very interesting op-ed that appeared in the Western Journal, which, by the way, I would highly recommend you subscribe to. If you're looking for good, reliable reporting, good, reliable articles and op-eds, the Western Journal really is one of the very best. Subscribe to the Epoch Times and the Western Journal. You can't go wrong. Now, this op-ed was written by Michael Schwartz under the headline, John Fetterman gets embarrassed trying to defend Dems to Rogan. Exactly why Kamala Harris refused to face Joe Rogan. So let me just go ahead and read this to you verbatim. And maybe a little discussion afterward, okay? Vice President Kamala Harris chose not to go on America's most popular podcast. And this weekend we saw why. On Saturday's episode of the Joe Rogan Experience, Democratic Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania visibly struggled to address host Joe Rogan's concerns about Democrats using illegal immigration as a tool with which to rig elections by settling illegal immigrants in swing states, giving them resources, and then calling for amnesty. In fact, one social media user described the spectacle as exactly why Kamala Harris refused to face Joe Rogan. Throughout the immigration-related conversation, Fetterman seldom, if ever, made eye contact with the host. Instead, the Pennsylvania senator kept his eyes down as if nervous and hesitant to engage on the subject. Moreover, people noticed. A 4+ minute clip of the exchange posted Saturday to the social media platform X went viral. As of Monday morning, it had more than 16.8 million views. The clip began with Fetterman claiming to have been vigilant on the border and not having seen any issues. That prompted Rogan to ask if, by issues, the senator meant letting people in order to get votes. Fetterman then stammered his way through an evasive answer. Well, there's not that level kinds. I don't think there's that level kinds of organization, the senator replied. Now, Rogan proceeded to explain that the movement of illegal immigrants or migrants to swing states did constitute an organized effort. It included providing those migrants with public assistance, as well as calls for amnesty from Democrats. This, Rogan said, led to fears of Democrats rigging this system by importing voters. Fetterman, of course, had no good answer, for none exists. Therefore, rather than address Rogan's point directly, the senator insisted that immigration would always amount to a tough issue that both sides would try to keep alive for different reasons, which made border-related legislation difficult. Then the senator stumbled into Rogan's trap. Having declared that both sides deserve blame, Fetterman then touted the ghastly border bill that went down to defeat in February, blaming former President Donald Trump for Congress' failure to adopt the bill. Apparently, the senator didn't realize that the February bill made Rogan's point exactly. But didn't that deal also involve amnesty? Rogan asked, knowing full well that it did. And didn't that deal also involve a significant number of illegal aliens being allowed into the country every year? Fetterman admitted in the middle of the host's second question, it did, yeah. Rogan said, I think it was 2 million people. Fetterman acknowledged, yeah. So it was still the same sort of situation, the host added. He then repeated the concern about Democrats using illegal migrants to rig the voting in swing states. The cornered senator couldn't refute the claim. Well, I'm not really sure if that's what's in play, Fetterman replied. Rogan asked then, again laying out the case, but doesn't that seem logical, though? In the end, Fetterman couldn't do anything but speak in platitudes. And undeniably, immigration is changing our nation, the senator said, describing this development as generally for the good. Well, parenthetically, after calling himself vigilant only 4 minutes earlier, Fetterman admitted that he hadn't spent much time in Texas. Well, there you go. To his credit, Fetterman spoke to Rogan for more than 2 hours. Every honest person who's heard Harris speak knows for certain that she couldn't have lasted that long. In fact, Rogan's immigration questions alone would have left the vice president far more flustered than Fetterman. She would have resorted to a trademark word salad, and clips of the interview on America's most popular podcast would have haunted her. So one ex-user wrote, this video is exactly why Kamala Harris refused to face Joe Rogan. Harris stayed away from Rogan, of course, because as Fetterman's responses show, Democrats have no good explanation for their open border policies. And they don't, and we've known that all along. I mean, come on, you and I are not that naive. When Joe Biden, I forgot his name already, look at that. What a memorable man he is. But when Joe Biden sat down at the Resolute desk and started undoing everything that Donald Trump had accomplished, one of the first things he undid was the border. He opened that border up and he stopped the building of the wall. Now, that right there speaks volumes. There was already an order from the Democrat-controlling deep state that the border will be opened. You know, you want to blame Biden for all of this, but you really can't. Not 100%. I mean, naturally, he went along with it. He went along with it because he wanted to be president. His wife wanted to be the first lady, Dr. Jill Biden. So they went along with this willingly. Not that they had any choice, because the deep state is running the country. I mean, this question keeps being asked by conservative journalists and conservative statesmen and stateswomen. Who is really running the country? Well, we know this. I mean, come on. We're not all living under a rock. We know that the deep state is running the country. Now, what is the deep state? Basically, the deep state is what Ike Eisenhower referred to as the military-industrial complex. Now, it's taken generations for the American people to wake up to exactly what it is and who's running the country. But the deep state has been running the country for quite some time. That became very apparent to me when I watched our former governor, George W. Bush, go to Washington. He was one kind of a person as our governor. He was pretty terrific. And he built bridges between the two political parties here in Texas and did a great job of it. So much so that Bob Bullock, who was our Speaker of the House at the time, when Bob Bullock died, his family asked George W. Bush, because Bullock was a Democrat, his family asked George W. Bush to deliver the eulogy, which Mr. Bush was all too happy to do. That was the kind of a political system we had in Texas at the time. So then George W. Bush is elected president. He goes to Washington and bam, right away, he's prosecuting a war. Of course, there was impetus for that in the form of 9/11. But here again, immediately upon the attack on the World Trade Center, George W. Bush became part of the military-industrial complex and thereby the rise of Dick Cheney. Look where the Cheneys are now. And there's no head-scratching involved there when you look at the Cheneys, where they are now. Nothing mysterious about that, given their track record. Especially Cheney, the warmonger that he was. He and John Bolton were just almost best friends. These people are not happy unless we are prosecuting a war somewhere on the planet. So you could argue probably into infinity on why they're doing this. Why do they have this fetish for war everywhere all the time? Is it to line their own pockets? Probably, yes, that's probably a big part of it. But you see, by doing this, they also retain power. Well, you can't vote us out because we're in a war situation right now. We're prosecuting a war. You can't change horses in the middle of the stream. I mean, why do you think FDR was reelected so many times? An unprecedented fourth term, which he only lived a couple of months of, because he died in April of 1945. And boom, right away, Harry Truman had what he called the weight of the world dropped on his shoulders. And all things considered, I think Harry Truman is probably one of the most underrated presidents this nation ever had. When you look at when he had everything dropped on him, just months away from the end, I mean, literally a weeks away from the end of the war against Germany, the Nazis. And then he had to finish things off with Japan. It was Harry Truman who had to make the decision to drop those atomic bombs. Not a popular decision. But as he said many times in the years afterward, gee whiz, for 20 years afterwards, he said he made the only decision that he could make, and that was to end that war. But what emerged after World War II was this military-industrial complex. And I guess if you really read up on the history of that, it's almost logical the way it evolved. Very logical. Scary, but logical. So here we are, what, 75 years? No, almost 80 years. Next year it'll be 80 years in 2025 since the end of World War II. And the military-industrial complex is still running the country. There was one exception, and that was the 4 years that Donald Trump was in office. But you saw how easily that was snatched away from him. He basically only served 3 years. As a free-thinking president, it was hijacked. His administration was hijacked by the COVID-19 plandemic. That's what it was. It was a plandemic. Make no mistake about that. Could that happen again? It could. But I don't think it's ever going to happen again under Donald Trump. And I doubt that it would happen under someone like J.D. Vance. Looking ahead for J.D. Vance to succeed Donald Trump. You know, there's a lot here that points to extreme corruption within the Democrat Party. And by corruption, I mean their failure. Now, it's not a failure. It's willful. Their willful desire to destroy our Constitution and usher in a socialist, possibly even communist form of government. You look at the way the nation behaves. Look at the way the government behaves toward 91-year-old grandmothers who are protesting in front of an abortion clinic and how people like that are treated. And then, of course, the story of Peanut the Squirrel. Of course, those were state officials up there in New York. But it's just symptomatic of what is wrong with our government. Our government is extremely bloated. Who was it? Elon Musk was talking about, you know, we could feasibly get rid of 75% of government employees. And it wouldn't make a dent in the way the country operates. Wow. Stunning figure. But here's the most stunning figure of all, and I mentioned this, I think, on yesterday's podcast, and that is the single largest employer in our country today is the U.S. government. This ought to shake you up a little bit. More than 200 voters were denied the chance to hear what a Republican House candidate had to say about her opponent after campaign mail pieces were dumped into a New York State creek in October. Now, the mailers were paid for by the state Republican Party and attacked the record of Democratic Representative Pat Ryan, who faces a challenge from Republican Allison Esposito in New York's 18th Congressional District. And this is according to a news publication that I trust implicitly, the New York Post. Now, let me make this very clear. This was nothing more than political advertising, okay? Political mailers. These were not ballots. This had nothing to do with the vote. But it still has everything to do with the principle of what goes on behind the scenes. Now, a fisherman found between 200 and 250 mailers torn and shredded and basically just strewn about the ground near a place called Sprout Creek. And this is according to a complaint with the U.S. Postal Service, an official complaint. And State Republican Party Representative David Laska said it's certainly a case of election interference. Oh, yeah, that argument could certainly be made. He said someone committed a very serious offense. So now the Postal Service needs to investigate to get some kind of an idea as to whether the mailers, were dumped by Postal Service employees. That's the first thing they need to determine. Now, the complaint cites an unnamed USPS employee contractor as being responsible. So, here's what the complaint said. An individual in Wappingers Falls, New York, reported to the New York Republican Federal Campaign Committee that approximately 200 to 250 pieces of political mail were discovered torn and shredded on the side of Brown Road by Sprout Creek, which were intended to be mailed in the custody of USPS. Well, the Postal Service confirmed that they're looking into the complaint, and Postal Service Representative Mark Lawrence said, the U.S. Postal Service is committed to the secure, timely delivery of the nation's election mail. The Postal Service is aware of a complaint alleging improper handling of political mail being reviewed by the U.S. Postal Service Office of the Inspector General and has nothing further to offer. Well, James Curran, general counsel of the state Republican Party, said in the complaint, according to Higher Ground Times, so far, this is the only batch of mail that has been found, but there could be others. Gee, do you think? Now, Esposito is a 25-year veteran of the New York Police Department who zeroed in on immigration as a top campaign issue. She wrote on her campaign website, "This country was founded on lawful immigration, and we must work together to fix the system for those who wish to legally immigrate and live the American dream." I don't think anybody could argue with that. Do you? She wrote, "It's clear that under the Biden administration, there is a manufactured humanitarian and national security crisis." Very well put. Very well put. That's exactly what's happening. She said, "Our southern border is not secure, and deadly drugs such as fentanyl and fentanyl-related substances plague our communities that are not the only concern. Over the past year alone, over 170 people on the terrorist watch list have illegally crossed our border that we know of." See, and that's the devil in the details right there. Those are just the ones we know of. What about the ones we have no clue about? There's certainly a stark difference in mentality between liberals and conservatives. And one of the things that keeps manifesting itself over and over and over again is attitude. In other words, violence. It always happens on the left. The left are always violent toward people wearing MAGA hats or Trump shirts, what have you. And it even happens on an official basis. In one of the NFL stadiums, I forgot which one it was, you had security, stadium security, confronting someone who was wearing a Trump shirt in the stands. You can't do that. That is an abridgment of freedom of speech, our First Amendment rights. And yet the left does it. All the incidents of Republican mailers. And, of course, the 2020 election, ballots being thrown out, all on the part of the left. The corruption, which I think the Democrat Party should be synonymous with, corruption, happens on the left. Well, we have another incident where a U.S. Postal Service worker, allegedly, we're going to have to say that, allegedly, tossed about 300 mailers in support of New Jersey Republican Representative Tom Keene Jr. into a dumpster outside a Pennsylvania supermarket 2 weeks ago, and the caught-on-camera incident may have cost her job. If it hasn't, then there's no justice. A security company worker watched as the unidentified woman, who was clad in a USPS uniform, pulled her Toyota Prius up next to a ShopRite dumpster in Broadheadsville, Pennsylvania, took several bins, out of her truck, or trunk, and chucked them in the dumpster. And a security worker told the blog known as the New Jersey Globe, "We saw her dump it." Now, a surveillance camera captured the whole thing, and the recording was given to Postal Service investigators. And one security worker said on the video, "We have a license plate. She has a Pennsylvania plate, but it looks like the mail's from Jersey." An independent committee connected to the National Republican Party sent out the pro-Keene mailers, which the Globe said were intended for Garden State voters in a ruby-red portion of western Morris County in North Jersey. So on Monday, USPS spokesman Javier Hernandez said that the agency is aware of the allegation of mishandled political mail. I mean, do these people think that we're not looking out for this stuff now? It's like that old saying, "Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me." Fool me a third time? Boy, you're really good at this. But Hernandez said in an email, he says, "We have referred this incident to the U.S. Postal Inspection Service and the U.S. Postal Service Office of Inspector General and have nothing further to offer." But the service may have already taken action, because the Globe's editor, David Wildstein, said in a post on X that an agency official confirmed the woman has been removed from her job as a postal worker in Sukasuna, New Jersey. Now, the candidate Keene is the son of popular former New Jersey Governor Tom Keene, and he's really locked in a ferocious battle for his House of Representatives seat in the state's 7th congressional district. They don't have landslide elections up there. They're all very, very close. A recent poll from Monmouth University showed Keene leading Democratic opponent Sue Altman by just 2 percentage points, well within the poll's 4.7% margin of error in a swing district that could help determine control of the House. So this is a big deal. So Keene said in a Monday statement, he said, "I believe in the security of our elections and voting by mail, but this incident is deeply troubling." He says, "I hope the USPS acts swiftly to resolve whatever crimes have been committed, and I urge them to be open and transparent about the specifics of this incident. Protecting the integrity of our democracy is imperative." Well, if you're really serious, and I really mean this, if you're really serious about protecting the integrity of elections, you have got to stop mail-in voting. I know that's going to seriously hamper some people who want to vote, but I believe that other accommodations should be made. Mail-in voting, that is nothing but a huge invitation for wholesale corruption. And I'm going to say that really aimed at both sides, conservative and liberal. Mail-in voting is an invitation for corruption. But then again, history has shown us that when it comes to corruption, when it comes to crime, you find so much more of that on the left than you do on the right. Well, look at the history of leftism. I mean, the entire history of leftism. You want to see something somewhat recent that's a glaring example of how corrupt and criminal leftism is? Look at Cuba. Look at how we lost Cuba to the commies. There was nothing honest about that. Let's move on over into the comedy corner with Rocky Laporte.
I was in Vegas last week, you guys. You like Vegas? You like going to Vegas? My buddy lives there. I go, show me around. Like, I wanted to get off the strip. You know where he takes me? Went to the Las Vegas Zoo. You ever? Yeah, it's a piece of crap. You ever been in there? They got like four birds and a squirrel. They didn't even have good animals. There was like a lizard or something ran by. The guy goes, that's not ours. So, he's like, do you see the bird exhibit? I'm like, yeah, that's a nice duck. It was like two guys got together, and they're like, hey, I got a dog, and you got a bird. Let's have a zoo. Call up Jimmy and tell him to bring his cat. Then they charge you to get in there. Do you believe that? Yeah. It's like $8. It comes out to like a buck an animal. I'm not even making this up. Folks, they had a sign in the bathroom. It said, no smoking or eating. Yeah. Who's going to eat in the bathroom at a zoo? You're like, hey, the zoo don't smell bad enough. Let's go have a snack in the John. And whose job is it to go in there and check on that, you know? They're like, hey, Jimmy, when you're done washing the duck, go to the bathroom, make sure nobody's eating in there, will you? I like the animals. You like the animals? Yeah, just a couple people over here. The rest of you guys, no, huh? That's weird. Usually, how come you guys don't like animals? Sorry I brought it up. All right, let's just move on. I like it. I think my favorite animal is probably like shrimp. Yeah, I love shrimp. I was dating this girl for a while. She liked animals and outdoors. And she always wanted to go camping, you know? She was, let's go camping. We'll sleep outside. You guys do that? You go camping? Really? Holy cow. I'm like, I don't want to sleep outside. That's why I work.
That makes sense. Hey, make it a wonderful Wednesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And you be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.